And welcome in to the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Hope everybody had an outstanding weekend. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We know that some of you starting school today, so to the children we say, I'm sorry. To the parents we say, congratulations. School back in order. Joe, what's going on?
Yeah. Happy first day of school. Unbelievable. So basically summer's over in a sense. I'm doing okay. Also, for the second oldest kid, had a big crawfish boil going away party yesterday. So
sweet.
Shout out to the Shanes, who basically are the people, you know, responsible for my gout. And I sat there and mostly watched everybody else eat 78 pounds of crawfish. But there was some corn in there, some mushrooms that were really good.
It's good.
You know, stuff like that. Made my famous broccoli salad with turkey bacon, gout friendly.
Wow.
Sorry, I thought there was, I guess there is like a ban on gout talk, isn't there? But it just keeps coming up. It became like this pun, like, hey, no gout about it. That's a really good, yeah, it's like, it's become this just running joke in the town of Nolensville. So
I'm glad that you can provide these people with entertainment.
Yeah, it's the least I can do. You
yeah,
know?
It's good stuff.
Kind of hurts today, too, by the way.
Oh, boy. That's not good. Not good.
Still wearing the flip-flops.
Yeah, does the weather affect gout?
That's a good question. I really don't know. Maybe that's a good point, because people, their knee acts up when it gets a little rainy and cool. Yeah. That's,
cold. Yeah, cold's okay. Not good for that.
I'll add that to the list of questions for my doctor.
According to the AI overview, yes, weather, particularly temperature and humidity, can affect gout. I don't know what they thought I meant
maybe
by weather.
Someday you could be like me and get gout.
Yes, torrential rain can affect gout. But yes, temperature and humidity has an effect on gout. Cold temperatures can cause uric acid crystals to form in the joints. So don't do that.
No.
Don't get out in the cold.
Well, definitely not ever moving back to Michigan then. That's good to know. If that wasn't decided already, here we go. We just decided today.
Ian, how we doing? Ian apparently was telling me before the show, apparently the Williamson County Fair, very popular this
weekend. The entire county must have been there Saturday at some point. It was ridiculous. Tried to go Saturday night, waited in traffic, and then, you know, you have people coming off the interstate and making all types. It was like craziness out there. No one was paying attention to any of the roads, just driving all willy-nilly, being wild, honking horns, putting their windows down and yelling at each other through the stuff, and it was a disaster.
You've, chaos.
You've brought up another grievance that I wasn't even, yeah. Somehow, I got to be the parent to take six kids home Saturday night at 11 p.m. Like, yay, I won. So I I'm not complaining. Yeah, don't get me wrong, okay? But other parents do a lot of other stuff and take our kids, yeah. But, I mean, I took on Friday, and I picked up on Saturday.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
That's a lot of responsibility from you
kind
this
of,
weekend.
You know, that's a lot of, yeah, that's a lot of.
Yeah, there was, like,
work.
Overflow. You had to park, get on a school bus, or and then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
And it was like, all right, we're out of here. We bailed.
Overflow with the school bus.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that stinks.
Ian said, now, we're good, man. I'm not getting involved in all this stuff.
Yeah, it's always chaotic. I mean, yeah, it's always chaotic. You find, like, when you're picking up, you just find a parking spot and then hope that they can find your car, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't see any of the, like, the stuff you're talking about.
People yelling at each other?
Yeah, it was like 6 o'clock or so, 6, 7 o'clock on Saturday night, trying to drive in there. Man.
Yeah, that's no Wilson County Fair.
No.
I mean, that's the one I want to check out.
Yeah, it's not even like a state fair or anything. So, whatever.
Big stuff out there. So I hope everybody had a great weekend here. We got a lot to get to.
What'd you do?
I had a birthday party for my 2-year-old.
Yeah,
and
that's
I just
the big weekend.
Basically, just sat there on the grill and fired up some burgers and hot dogs. That's what I did.
And Frozen theme?
Frozen. A lot of Frozen stuff going on.
A lot of Frozen, yeah.
And we have now acquired more Frozen things, including this microphone that plays Let It Go at an incredible volume at all times.
I think I'm familiar with that one.
Which has been a lot of fun to have that just blaring throughout the house the last couple of days. So appreciate, shout out to Ryan Stanley, my brother, for buying that. I'm sure for Allison, more so for me, just to see how much that could drive me nuts. So thanks.
That builds character.
Yeah, really looking forward to it.
Before, yeah, I now had to follow up with that, too. Every single story, I just have to, like, you know, add in my little. So one of the gifts that, you know, Brennan got was a we've had a huge issue in our house for years of him blasting music and these speakers, and then I'll take the speakers and hide them and whatever. And he got a green and white Michigan State speaker last night. So for the next 2 weeks of hell that we can look forward to before he leaves, he is going to be blasting that thing.
Just absolute, like a concert
going
on in there. Good stuff.
Maybe not Let It Go, though.
Well,
I would actually take Let It Go over some of the Memphis rap he listens to.
We got Corey Curtis later in the program at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans, his observations from Titans training camp. Rob Rant coming up later in the program. We'll get into the Micah Parsons situation in Dallas. Is he going to be traded? Is the situation going to be resolved? How did it deteriorate to this point? Should the Titans pursue Micah Parsons? We'll get into all those things later in the program as well. But, Joe, we begin today on the latest information from Titans training camp. So, apparently, I guess it was Saturday, the offense had a little bit of a better day, right? So, Cam Ward did not turn the ball over. Offense had a little bit better of a day, which, frankly, I was like, is that ever going to happen at any point in camp? And then finally it did, so you felt good about it. And then apparently yesterday it all came crashing back down to earth again for the offense, and they could get nothing going to the point where, and I'll just read a tweet from Terry McCormick, who was there yesterday at practice, quote, Brian Callahan just ended Titans practice with a profanity-filled tirade at his offense about how poorly they practiced yesterday. And based on people who were there, whether it's Andrew or TD or Paul Kuharski, apparently did not go well for really any offense, any part of the offense yesterday. First team, second team, third team, take your pick. The offense, not very good yesterday. And Brian Callahan felt strongly enough about it where he just basically cussed them all out at the end of practice yesterday. So, Joe, what do we make of that? And how concerned are we that it doesn't seem like the offense is getting much traction at this point in training camp?
Yeah, I mean, it can't be unconcerning. And I'm totally in a see it when I believe it mode with the defense making any kind of significant step forward. Obviously, Cody Barton is an ad who seems to be a good ad. I am a believer because I've seen him play at a high level. I'm a believer that 98's going to have a good year. You know, and then there was some, I guess you would say, optimistic talk about Snead, but he's not out there right now from Denard Wilson. He's not out there right now. So, yeah, it's interesting because Callahan came out, Friday, the press conference that started right as our show ended, conveniently. And there was some like, okay, so what, extra practice, why? It finally got to the question of why? Why is this, is it because of something that it hasn't been? No. Everything's good. Everything's fine. Positive. Like how they're working. Is the energy lacking? No. Energy's fine. Everything's fine. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
I mean, hey, I not saying he's like he's miserable and furious behind the scenes and decides to just put on a total front. Maybe that's how he feels. I mean, I don't know. I do feel like the energy talk is like, it's draining my energy because it's kind of – it's such a I'm kind of with Garcia. It's like execute, and then you'll all of a sudden it'll look better. But, yeah, it is like, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. All's well. And then it's like snap, which is kind of like Levis last year, right? It's like support Levis. He's amazing. This is why I took the job. Levis doing a great job. He's fine. And then what the bleep are you doing?
Yeah.
So he had a what the bleep are you doing moment for the whole offense. Interesting. I'm very interested to, now it's like, okay, so now tell the fans, what does that mean? Everything fine? No, everything's fine. I just decided to yell. Or, sometimes it seems like it's just trending a little bit. Everything is hunky-dory when it's not.
Well, another situation where, they're not going to change it at this point, but would have been nice to have the press conference yesterday after the profanity-laced tirade out there on the field. Could have got to the bottom of that instead of before practice. That'd have been nice.
Yeah, it's just it's just not really the most helpful way to do things, in my opinion. It's a way, I guess, to kind of avoid things. I mean, it's pretty good. If you don't want to talk about what just happened on the practice field, whatever it may be, someone got hurt, you're mad.
Yeah.
people didn't play well. Sometimes it's someone played really well, you know, then it works for you. But it's weird to have to wait till the next time to talk about it.
Yeah, according to Jim Wyatt, Cam Ward, 5 of 14 in team periods yesterday. So that's not very good, not what you're looking for. Finally had a little bit of a skirmish yesterday, apparently, between Jarvis Brownlee and Mason Kinsey. So, I mean, you're not going to make it through an NFL training camp without something like that happening at some point. But finally got there yesterday.
It took 11-year camp superstar Mason Kinsey to finally get him riled up.
Show a little fire out there.
Yeah. Well, they're going to – I think we'll probably hear about more. I mean, usually when different teams start playing each other, that's a given. That's a guarantee. If that doesn't happen, then the low T Titans is like a lowercase T may be necessary.
They do practice against the Tampa Bay Bucks this week, and we'll follow that up next week with some practices against the Falcons before their preseason game in Atlanta as well. So they're going to get a lot of good work in over the next couple of weeks here. You know, Brian Callahan was talking about that yesterday, just in terms of, you know, the classic coach speed of, well, it'd be nice to go up against somebody else and hit, you know, a different team, but also, like, probably what I care about more, which is a pretty good litmus test of where you're at. Like, Tampa Bay, I'm not going to say Tampa Bay is like some elite team or anything like that, but Tampa Bay, I think, is going to win their division again. We'll see what happens on that front. Atlanta, we'll see how good, you know, Michael Penix is. And at the moment, Kirko's still there, so if Michael Penix isn't good, maybe turn back to him at some point. I have no idea. But you're going to get a good look if you're the Titans over the next couple of weeks here of, you know, trying to exactly stack up. All right, your offense has struggled at this point in camp. Do they figure some things out against another team, or do they continue to really struggle against the Bucks and against the Falcons coming up? So some more information, I think meaningful information that we're going to find out over the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, okay, so are any of these struggles a sign of good news with the defense? Can the offense figure it out? I mean, based on what's happened so far and the way the trend is going, I'll be pleasantly surprised if we don't hear about Tampa Bay's defense putting a thumping on this Titans offense.
That's just kind of the expectation.
And, you know, it's like there's individual offensive linemen. Now, I do feel like it's probably a positive trend with Dan Moore. But then you hear, you know, and I saw this the other day with, you know, Zeitler. I mean, Kevin Zeitler, like, there is a reason, like, the Lions, like, you know, I mean, he is at a certain age, right?
Yep.
And they already have done a little bit of maintenance on Pratt. I mean, you know, at some point you get to a certain age and you're not the same player that you used to be. And I'm wondering if we're seeing a little bit of that.
So my question for Titans fans, how concerned are you that the Titans offense to this point has not done a whole lot in training camp? Is it concerning? Do you not care at this point? You got to wait and see what they do against other teams coming up this week in the joint practices against Tampa Bay. Where do you come down on the offensive struggles that we've seen to this point? We'll continue that conversation coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game.
First team offense has not really scored a lot of touchdowns in the red zone so far in camp in those periods. Is that an area of concern?
Concern, no. We've been in the high red zone a bunch. Haven't worked down to the low. We got more red zone work today, so actual focused red zone work where we're starting down inside the 12. But yeah, I would like to see more movement in the red zone in the periods that we've had. But we got a lot of work to do in the red zone in general. That's probably one of the harder areas. A lot of our early focus has been on third downs, which has been great. And now we'll shift into the red zone today and get some more work. But yeah, we got work to do there for sure.
That was Brian Callahan before yesterday's practice, which apparently didn't go well for the offense and ended with them yelling at the entire offense, which I know some Titans fans are like, yeah, you yell at them, Coach, nice.
Hey, I mean, I think it's probably at this point, it's not frequent, so it's a nice change, right?
Yeah, sure. I have no problem with, you know, every now and then letting loose a nice profanity-laced tirade. Sometimes it's necessary and
can be cathartic.
It can be cathartic, and maybe it was for Brian Callahan yesterday. Maybe the offense responds next time they're out there on the field. But it has not gone well for the offense for the most part to this point in camp. So what do you make of that if you're a Titans fan? How concerning is it? Rex Rhodes about to give a profanity-laced tirade to his computer over here, so we might all be privy to that here in just a few minutes.
Well, it's my fault. I'm an idiot. I mean, the fact that I'm trying to keep limping along with this 1987 Commodore 64 is truly amazing.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy first day back to everybody out there listening.
Yes.
Going to be a lot of traffic and all that. However, to your question, like, should you be concerned or how concerned? I'm pretty concerned, and that quote with Callahan, it's like, is it concerning? No, it's not concerning. Then why are you upset yelling at him if you're not concerned about it? I really do just wish that this guy could come back and at least acknowledge, like, yes, the offense has been awful. I need to be a lot better. I just don't really feel that urgency from him. And then I'm like, it's kind of like a comedian. Whenever you get up on stage and you feel like you may have to insert a curse word to, like, really have your point come across, and you think it's going to be funny if you insert the curse word versus if you just told the joke with good timing and good delivery and everything else. So maybe Callahan is maybe slipping a little bit, just saying. And to you all, is this concerning for you all and your perception of Callahan up to this point that, again, the results really hasn't been there on offense? Because I just think that we're going to go down to Tampa this weekend and get punked. And then what? So, anyways, hope you have a great day and tighten up. Hey, lowercase t Titans, too. All right?
There we go.
Moving on a while. Joe, that's hilarious.
Low T Titans.
Get in my T-shirt.
Tighten down. Yeah. Tighten down, like horns down.
Thank you, Jared.
Thanks, Jared.
Appreciate it. Have a great day, fellas.
You too, buddy.
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, in fairness, the clip that we played a minute ago specifically was about the red zone, right? So, there have been some struggles in the red zone, and as Callahan points out, like, they've worked a lot of, you know, high red zone stuff. So we'll see, you know, as camp goes on, what that looks like and how much it changes. But, like, the offense as a whole, like, clearly at the end of practice yesterday, I don't know specifically what it was. I don't know if it was urgency or whatever you want to call it, or just if the lack of execution just eventually made him snap. But, you know, I think we are deep enough into camp at this point, Joe, where it's like the offense needs to pick it up. Like, it's time to get going. I think, you know, the first few days, particularly in pads, it's like, all right, you know, you've got a rookie quarterback. The defense is naturally ahead of the offense in a lot of cases by the time training camp rolls around. Joe, yesterday was day five in pads. It's the fifth practice in a row they've had in pads. It's time for the offense to get going on a little bit more of a consistent basis here.
Yeah. And again, like, the only thing that with what Jared was saying there, the problem is, again, we haven't had him say, no, everything's fine. I mean, I can't believe that if he talked after that practice, he would have said, I yelled. What are you talking about? Yell. No, we're good. Everybody's great. I doubt that would have happened. And the next time he talks, by the way, is going to be Wednesday.
Yeah.
There's nothing today. There's no availability tomorrow. 7:40 a.m. So we can have that on the program. So wait a minute. Is that cut into P? Well, that's right. So PK. What the heck are we going to do with PK?
Let's figure that out.
Messing up our PK stuff, our PK time.
Let's figure that out.
But that'll be the next time he talks. So I think he'll probably have cooled down by then. You know, but
if not, this could be a very interesting week.
Yeah, right.
He's still just furious by the time Wednesday comes around.
Yeah, that would be something. That would be sustaining something, which is great for the low T Titans. But thank you.
But we're gonna get a lot of mileage.
Yeah,
out of this,
I know. Yeah, we are. I also didn't realize. So they're only doing one practice with the Bucks. I guess I didn't realize that. I don't know that I've seen that. But that's the schedule is here. They're here Wednesday. Thursday, they have their practice with the Bucks, and then there's nothing Friday, and they play the game Saturday. So that's kind of interesting. So there's only one practice in which to potentially get thumped by the Bucks.
We'll see how it goes. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Roy to the program. Roy, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, what's up? You know, I don't think it's too much concerning. I mean, you know, last year we had a very nice, soft-spoken head coach, and our whole team seemed like it was just sinking. And every week he was just like, oh, we're going good. We're getting better. Every week we're getting better. And, maybe it's a page turn. Maybe we're going from babyface Cali to heel Cali. I mean, I love the energy, you know. Keep it up. You know, just go crazy. Whatever gets a dub, you know. But just be cautious because, you know, he goes too crazy on some of these divas out there. It may not play too great during game day, but tighten up, guys.
Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it. I mean, I thought we may hear from that a little bit today of maybe he was too calm last year. Didn't go crazy enough, and now you know, you're yelling at the end of practice yesterday, a change of pace on that front. Look, I'm pretty sure yesterday's probably not the first time Brian Callahan has yelled at people since he's become the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Well, we know
he it's not the you know, he's not Vrabel, okay? So we understand it's not exactly the same style of coaching out there. But, you know, for the Titans fans who thought maybe he was too calm given the circumstances last year, maybe a little bit of a change of perception yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing about Vrabel is, you know, Vrabel, it's not like he was like screaming. He was just constantly saying, you know, bark, 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 and usually saying funny stuff with F-bombs. But, yeah, I mean, he wouldn't hesitate to, and then he would be, you know, obviously jerky with the media at times. Callahan, very nice with the media, very calm, low-key. Yeah, I mean, I generally agree that, like, you do want to see this sometimes, and it sounds like it's warranted. There's just too much. Again, like, I'm listening last week, and Big Joe, when he's out there, is like, you know, he's like, two guys of the entire team ran out to practice. Okay. I mean, I don't know how much that means, but there is a lot of talk about energy, execution, et cetera, et cetera. And it just doesn't it seems like at some point someone should probably get mad.
No, I agree. Like, I feel like not in every training camp, but in most training camps around the NFL, something like this happens at some point, right? Like, the coach just loses it at some point. Like, you know, I follow the Packers training camp. LaFleur lost it last week because people were – He had been warning people about taking somebody to the ground and trying not to get people hurt, and then somebody got taken to the ground, and apparently he was throwing stuff and went nuts out there, and it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, Matt LaFleur's yelling at me, go, oh, great. But I think this happens in most camps at some point once throughout the process.
Yeah, it's like a general script where, you know, it's like, the offense will win. Oh, the offense kicked the defense. And the defense came back the next day and they won. And the coach got mad. And a couple guys got in fights. Yeah. And, you know, a few guys get hurt. And then, you know, yeah. Then you pick up something like the waiver wire, the cuts. It is very repetitive. So, yeah, if you get through a camp with your NFL team and there's never any, like, controversy, yelling,
conflict,
anger, you know, then that's probably not good. Right?
Probably not. One texter says, not surprised they're struggling at all with a rookie quarterback who's mid himself, a struggling hot seat coach who'll be fired at the end of the year. Just another round and round on the carousel at this point. One texter says, Callahan, damned if he does, damned if he doesn't with his fan base. Can you imagine the freak out if he admitted the offense was looking poor so far? This is from an unnamed texter on the text line. Which is an interesting point.
Maybe. But would it be? I mean, I think some people are like, just tell, I mean, everybody can sit here. I'm reading, you know, I'm reading Jimmy Wyatt's numbers. They don't sound good. Everybody's – Cam, we know Cam's throwing a pick every day. That finally streak was broken Saturday. I don't think it would be a freak out if he said, yeah, like the offense right now is he's got to pick it up.
I don't think it would be a freak out. I do think there would be some people that say, well, that's why you're here, right?
Sure.
It's your baby. It's your offense. So get it going, coach. What are we doing out there?
Well, that's fair.
Which you could say without him coming out and saying that, right? I mean,
yes.
The offense is struggling. We can all see it right now. So in that question, I mean, kind of leads exactly what we're going to talk about coming up next, which is Brian Callahan. You know, it's interesting to watch the fan base's reaction to him so far. And, you know, they've not even played a game yet to this point. There are some people that are just so far out on him already, even with a new quarterback coming in. I want to know, like, how many Titans fans are actually approaching Brian Callahan and his situation with an open mind this year? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian Callahan, offense has struggled to this point in camp. How concerned are you about that? More your thoughts to get to on that. But also, how do Titans fans feel about Callahan heading into this? Because I've seen a lot, and we've heard from a lot, that are not confident in Brian Callahan and basically think that he's just on he's a coach this year that is on borrowed time and at some point is going to be shown the door this year. I wonder how many Titans fans have an open mind on Callahan. Give Callahan some grace for what we saw last year, not only with the quarterback play and how bad it was, but also the roster, and are approaching year two with Brian Callahan with an open mind of, all right, you know, it wasn't good last year, but how much of that was actually his fault? And I want to see him show me something this year, have some confidence that maybe he will show you something this year in year two as a head coach. We'll take your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Joe, as you've dealt with Titans fans, as we've heard from Titans fans throughout the offseason, and now that we've gotten to this point in training camp, we've talked about the offensive struggles. How do you view Callahan in terms of the fan base and how many people you think are just done with him before the season begins, and how many people are actually approaching this with, well, here we go, I guess we'll see.
Well, I'm always bad at this because, I mean, if you want to go by Twitter, and if Twitter was real life, boy, there'd be a lot of issues. Well, there are issues, but, like, wow, would we have issues in society? I think society would be almost over now. We'd be moving on. The aliens would be taking over the planet, and we'd be all dead soon. We'd be the cockroaches. But if you go by that, then I think there's a large segment of the fan base that's out on him. It's just hard for me to get to, and I understand fans being, in general, sick of all of this, right? Sick of the losing and the firings and the changing and the wheel spinning that we've seen, it seems like we're watching. But it's hard for me to believe that a reasonable Titans fan would think they know for sure what Brian Callahan is. You may end up right. You may absolutely end up right if you believe that he's just bad. He's just not fit to be a head coach. And look at the offense. What, this offensive guy, where's the offense? If you're not taking into account what he walked into, and how much do you want to blame Levis? I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of a sliding scale on that too, right? Yep. So there are still some people who think Levis got screwed and he didn't get a fair shake. Well, I mean, those people probably are more likely to be out on Callahan. Whereas if you think Levis was just total buns and made everything look worse than it really is, you're probably more likely to give Callahan some grace. But it's 1 year with the worst roster in the NFL. Are there other coaches who would have done more with it than him? Absolutely. I don't think he did a good job last year. I don't think that guarantees he can't do it. What percentage of the fan base feels that way? I still think I'm a minority of the fan base, would be my guess. It's a loud,
yeah,
like a lot of things. It's like a loud 15-20%.
Here's how I view it. That's my guess. I'm with you. Like there are some people that are out on Brian Callahan, and I get it. You know, he's 3-14 last year, and everything was bad, so I understand it. I do think the majority of Titans fans recognize how bad the quarterback play was last year, recognize the limitations of the roster. And now with a new quarterback coming in, I think there's at least an open mind that's going to be given to Brian Callahan. Now, I would say this as well. If things go poorly this year, particularly to start, I've said it many times, and I'm going to keep repeating it because I think it's worth keeping in mind as the season goes on. The first person that people are going to blame this year if things start to go poorly is Brian Callahan. It's not going to be Cam Ward, regardless of how bad Cam Ward may or may not be. To start, it's not going to be Cam Ward. So Brian Callahan is going to be the first one that gets the blame from the fan base this year. I mean, that's where he's at as a coach here. So I think a lot of Titans fans have an open mind. I think that mind will close very quickly if the results are as bad as they could be early in the year. We'll see what happens on that point. Like, we got a lot of different thoughts on this. You know, somebody says, how long should we as fans accept the excuse of, well, we got to be better? At some points, it would be nice to hear that we're actually getting better, especially from the guy that we hired to improve the offense. There's lots of different thoughts on this that we'll get to, but there's a couple that I think that one kind of sums up nicely.
Yeah. Well, Kyle in Shelbyville on the YouTube chat says, I'm supporting Callie because I feel sorry for him. It's a lose-lose situation. That's nice. I just feel bad for the guy. So... It says it's a lose-lose situation for him because no matter what he does, we're going to get killed this season. But see, and then I'll argue, well, he can help dictate things getting better, right? I mean, he can have a hand in things getting better. Again, there are limitations. No one expects this team to get to the playoffs. No one expects this team to win more games than it loses. But from a coaching perspective, separate from Cam Ward, because obviously it's all about that. Cam Ward looks good. They win four games. Okay. Did Cam Ward look good? Okay. Does he not get credit for that if he does? I would give him credit. But, yeah, you just don't want to have the ridiculous mistakes, the all the stuff that happened last year. I mean, there were a lot of things last year that were bad about this team, and they weren't all just lacking talent. They were also so like the special team stuff in particular, which has been addressed. But there were other things, too. It didn't look like a well-coached football team.
One texter says, coaches should make players better. Callahan has done nothing to improve his players. He's panicking. He's not a leader. Brian says, it's August 4th, and I'm already over this team, and that includes Callahan. I know it's been a horrible roster, but I can't think of one thing Callahan has really done to improve it. He just seems overwhelmed, which I, you know, That's kind of like the chicken or egg conversation. It's like, well, is there anything he can realistically do to improve it? Is the roster that bad? I think the quarterback play is going to be a lot of it. Because we could talk about the offense as a whole, but it's quarterback. That's why he was hired to come in here, right? And it was originally for Levis, and we know that they've pivoted on that. You know, if Ward struggles early, it doesn't matter if it's his fault or not. It's going to be blamed on Brian Callahan. All right, it's year two. It's like at some point you've got to demonstrate as a head coach that you can show some progress here with a quarterback. That's what you were hired to do.
Yeah, the number two quarterback that they took, it was pretty good. It was years. It was years of anybody but Marcus at fault for some people, not for everybody, not for you.
Nope.
You blamed him. For blamed him for like throwing a pick like in camp and decided he sucked, but you know seriously the market. Then it was like Larky, the OC, Brubisky. All right, you know what can Vrabel? What can you guys do? It's all about Marcus, Marcus, Marcus. Cam Ward is going to get years. There are going to be years of it's not his fault, even if it is. It's not going to be like Levis because it can't be. Not when you take a guy at number one overall and you decide against trading down and trying to, you know, build up your draft capital and really go into a rebuild. You went with the QB. He's going to have years. So, absolutely. Anything this year that's bad from him, a lot of people are just going to blame Brian Callahan. And, look, I think there's enough talent there for Cam Ward that you would hope that Brian Callahan would be able to unlock some of that potential and put him in position to succeed.
Yeah, like it – that's why I really want to see what the offensive line looks like, because if it's improved to the point that we think it could be, which again is not some top 10 offensive line, but if it's adequate out there, then you should see that translate with this offense. Like you should see if the quarterback has got time to actually make decisions and throw the football, albeit a rookie, you should see that translate. Like if Brian Callahan's got a solid foothold on, you know, situational play calling, if he's dialed in with that, if he's got, you know, confidence in terms of, you know, making the right call at the right moment, decisions with the football from Cam Ward, you know, all those things that kind of factor into moving the ball down the field, which is what we talked about last week. Is the offense moving the ball with any level of consistency this year? Like, if the offensive line is improved, you should see some of that. If you don't, then you're starting to look at the coach and you're like, oh, what's going on here, man? Like, why can we not get anything figured out offensively? And again, they haven't played a game yet, so we're going to wait and see what that looks like. I just know that if you're a Titans fan that has watched the offense the last few years, and now here we are again, albeit early, into training camp, and you're reading about continuous offensive struggles, you're like wanting to beat your head against the wall right now. You're like, can we please get the offense figured out?
Yeah, for sure. It's also like if you told me before camp that we'd be at this point, I'd be like, okay, a rookie quarterback early in camp with usually defense ahead of offense. Yeah, I mean that's more. Was that not the most likely outcome at this point?
I would say yes. Now, I would have liked to have probably seen the offense sustain a little bit more than it has to this point. Like it just kind of, you know, Saturday it felt like maybe that was, you know, you're reading about, well, the offense had a pretty good day, and Cam Ward didn't throw a pick, and it's like, okay, cool. Maybe this is a point where, you know, drawing a line in the sand and you're starting to turn things around and build a little bit more consistency, a little bit more confidence. And then to immediately come out the next day and just to apparently do absolutely nothing to the point where your coach is eviscerating you coming off the field, not great.
No, not great. So now you have time to think about it. And I guess in a way, like game week-ish a little bit, I guess, like to prepare for like another team and like I kind of to not go get embarrassed.
Yeah. It would be good. Like it would be nice to walk away from that practice this week and be like, you know, the Titans offense held their own out there a little bit. Maybe, you know, they didn't light up Tampa Bay or anything, but they didn't just get totally dominated out there. That would be great because that's what I'm afraid of right now.
Titans held their own in joint practice with Bucks. That sounds like maybe a banner someone would hang. Maybe Butch Jones would make a trophy out of that thing,
maybe,
man.
Maybe so.
Sounds exciting.
Butch still coaching?
Yeah,
he's
man.
Still out there.
He get fired he's doing year. Pretty well at Arkansas State. You didn't know?
You know, I hadn't paid a whole lot of attention to Butch out there.
Maybe this year, maybe there'll be a group of five.
We'll see.
Story this year.
I hope so. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Brian Callahan front. We will do that coming up next. We'll get into the Micah Parsons situation in the 7 o'clock hour, all that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. You can help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615, sponsored by Macero in 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. We're taking your thoughts on Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joey from Bellevue says, in-game adjustments too, Robbie. Last year they were terrible at making adjustments. And we've talked about that from the standpoint of first half to second half, Joe, and how it would be nice at some point for the Titans offense in the second half to put some points on the board and to be productive. The strange part is that has now spanned multiple coaching staffs, multiple general managers, multiple offensive coordinators, multiple quarterbacks. So it's not just been a one-person specific problem that the Titans have had with that over the last few years. That would also be, I mean, I would imagine throughout the first few weeks of the season, Joe, that's going to be one thing that we're talking about one way or the other of, man, that offense still sucks in the second half, right? Or, hey, look, they seem to have figured some things out in the second half of football games.
Yeah, it's kind of cruel and unusual punishment for a fan base, really, right? It's like what did Titans fans do to deserve all of a sudden just not just losing, but unwatchable football? Unwatchable football with constant revolving door of people in charge of the football. So, again, go to the owner, but it's like, how is this something that's persisting? Obviously, some of it is, if you're just really bad, it's not like they were lighting up the first halves, right? I mean, they're overall bad. But, yes, still a pretty big contrast between first half and second half. And I think that gets, again, you get me into the adjustments. Like at halftime in the NFL, like you have time to, like, pee, okay? And, okay, guys, here's a couple words, and let's get back out there.
Let's go pee.
That's right. There we go. Yeah, very things like, okay, guys, lock in. Here we go. The screen's up there. This is what we're going to do, the adjustments. The adjustments are constant during a game. But if you're failing more in the second half, then that does tell me that the other team is coming up with more answers than you are.
For
so
sure.
There you go.
Whether it's at halftime or not, right, throughout the course of the game, they're coming up with more answers than you are. So right. You got to get that part of it figured out at some point here for sure. I mean, look, there's a lot of, you know, we've gotten a lot of different thoughts on the text line on Callahan. There is a lot of, and this guy has shown absolutely nothing at this point and doesn't sound like some of these fans on here have much of an open mind on Brian Callahan. Like their big question is, yeah, what week will he be fired this year? Will it be week 7? Will it be week 14? Like when exactly will he be fired this year? And look, I mean, I guess I get it. I mean, he's 3-14 head coach and things have gone very poorly to this point. I'm with you, though. Like, I guess my point would be, how do you know? Like, how after 1 year with the quarterback play being what it was, with the roster being what it is, and albeit, I don't know how much better the roster is right now than it was last year. We'll see. How do you know that Brian Callahan doesn't have answers at this point? We're going
to
find out.
You don't. You don't know. You simply don't know. If you claim to know, then I'm sorry. There are way too many factors that are excuses that can be used as excuses, but sometimes like there are excuses actually exist. Sometimes, no. You know, and that's what it is. And, you know, maybe it's funny because a year ago, think about the conversation. It was like, oh, how refreshing. Like just a guy who doesn't have to be a jerk all the time. And he tells us about the injuries and stuff. And he listened to him talk about football. This guy clearly is one of the sharp minds in the NFL. And then it's funny too, because you think about that first game. I was like, man, they look pretty good. Like they're kind of kicking the Bears' butt. Like they're going to go win. Like the Bears are supposed to be a playoff team this year and all this stuff, you know. And then we saw what happened again. Like, so your QB directly early sabotage everything. Like there's no question about that, right? Like
that and special teams, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and then you know, you get the game where, and this is where then you get into, you can't blame Levis for that Malik Willis comes in here with the Packers and all of a sudden they just can't tackle anybody. Yeah, a lot of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. And I mean sometimes you can tell. I mean, even like Nathaniel Hackett, Charles brought up that example for us, right?
Yeah.
And obviously flipping out about it, I flipped out. That was a great rant. Thank you.
It was.
Thank you. By the way, good job.
Let me just tell you, that rant was one of my top five. Right,
most of them suck, but that one actually was like actually worth a rant. It was like, dude, fire him right now. But you can even tell with him, to me, publicly, is it like he was a deer in the headlights. Yeah. I don't get that from Callahan. I think Callahan, again, when he talks the game, it sounds good. It makes sense. Like he knows what he's doing, right? But I mean, the product ultimately speaks for it, and so it's got to be a lot better in a few different ways this year, I think. But right now, at this moment, you don't know.
Yeah, one texter says, "How did Amy know Ken Wisenhunt didn't have answers when he was halfway through his second season with a rookie QB?" I mean, at some point, this applies for Callahan right now. Like Callahan's not going to get the benefit of the doubt this year, right? Like you've got to at some point show that you do have some of those answers. And if we get, you know, halfway through this next season, three quarters of the way through this next season, and that hasn't happened and he hasn't shown that, well, he's probably going to get fired, right? And we can get back into the does it make sense to fire the coach with the rookie quarterback in discussion if you want to. But I mean,
if he's bad, and he
doesn't show any aptitude whatsoever to have solutions, I mean, at some point you run out of time to show it, right? Like, I'm just saying after year one, there are a lot of extenuating circumstances that leave me to have an open mind heading into this year. But my open mind's not going to last very long. Like, if they get a month and a half into the season and they are just so outmatched and he is getting, you know, he's just getting out-coached and it's clear that he doesn't know what he's doing, well, at some point you just got to call a spade and you move on from that.
Like, yeah,
and we may get to that point this year. I don't know.
Texter asks, has there ever been a coach fired during training camp? That's a good question. I can't think of one. But
I don't think so.
Amy's watching closely this week.
She was out there the other day.
That Tampa Bay practice better be pretty freaking good on Thursday. Dustin says, how does a rookie QB put together two drives the first quarter that are explosive, productive, and then after that, you know, they do nothing? Yeah, I mean, so that's the thing. You can look at they did have some good scripted drive success last year at times. So I get it's like, okay, good scripting.
Yeah.
Good diagnosing of the opponent and coming up with, but then yes, during the game. Now the opponent does this. What do you do in response? And again, sometimes it's like, well, I'll tell you what I did in response. Look at this play that we drew up. And then look, the right tackle and the left tackle, well, got destroyed and we couldn't run 80% of the plays that we should have run that. Well, I mean, it's complicated.
Well, let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, how you doing, Robbie? What's going on, Joe?
What's up, Mark?
I'm going to start calling you Joe Lowstein, Joe. I mean, Joe, what church are you preaching at, man? Because I need to come to service next Sunday and hear you speak, man. I mean,
Reverend Rex
Road. Long-winded, Joe. Yeah, Reverend Rex Road.
Rev Rex.
Well, hey,
nice.
Rev Rex. Yeah, you're right. That's a good one, Joe. I think the fans are a little too hard on Callahan right now. I'm trying to really give him a chance. I'm not a Titans fan, but hey, I'm trying to give him a chance. He's in a lame duck situation, Joe. I don't know if you and Robbie agree with me, but he's really in a lame duck situation. How many games does he have to win to keep his job? And even if he wins said games this year and he comes in next year and he's back struggling again, what happens then? I mean, he's just in a bad situation and stuff. I hate that for Callahan and really for Cam, too, because if he did get fired this year, then Cam's going to have to go through another new offense, another new coach. That's not good for a guy coming into his second year. I think Cam will struggle a little bit, but I think eventually Cam will be good. I'm not going to say great yet, but he will be good. And it's dependent on what Callahan does with him. But, I mean, if the defense stays on the field like they did last year, they're going to struggle. The offense is going to have to go out there and put up numbers. But, Robbie and Joe, I want to ask you this before I go. Right or wrong, yes or no, is Callahan in a lame duck situation right now? I'll see y'all later.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. I mean, you could definitely make that argument. I would say, I mean, no, because I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's fired. So I'd put it that way. Like,
I
think lame duck, I think, well, this guy is just going to have to pull off a miracle to save his job. I don't know that I believe that. Like, I do think, hopefully, with the approach that the Titans are taking, if they show some meaningful progress this year, and particularly if the quarterback shows some meaningful progress throughout the season, that I don't think that he's like in a, well, you better win 10 games or you're going to get fired type scenario. So I would say no, but I understand the thought of right now the odds are stacked against him that this time 3 years from now, Brian Callahan's going to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. It just is.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's officially lame duck by any means. Again, if there really is some like Borgonzi's got his guy and they're just waiting for that, I think that is just an awful, awful way to run a football team.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get back into the offense, Brian Callahan discussion a little bit later in the program. Some big news over the weekend in the NFL about a player that may or may not be available. And if he is, should the Titans try to pursue him? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.